This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show, How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend, Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. Hour two, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. It's time now for Woolchuck's mixed bag. We got C-Note coming up in 20 minutes, and then Cody Alexander match quarters in Krusty's Corner at 3:40. Here's Zach.
All right, let's shake it up. You never know what you're going to get in the mixed bag, and we're going to start with our Texas Rangers of Texas, who were in Denver taking on the Rockies. Now we got news of a roster move. The Rangers have activated Chris Martin from the injured list and optioned Gavin Collier to AAA Round Rock. Why?
He got rocked.
He did, and so is Chris Martin in AAA. But, hey, still, maybe Chris Martin's got a little juice left. I don't think he does. This is another reason why I've become a non-believer. But go Chris.
This might be the last chance hotel.
Give him hell. I think so. I mean, I think that he should have had his last chance, but yeah, absolutely. You know what?
You always want to be kind of churning the bottom of that bullpen, and unfortunately, yeah. Collier kind of slid back into there.
He did. Yeah. He slid back. Man.
I think he could have one more pitch left in him.
One more good one?
And then his neck will start to stiffen up and
the back might fall apart.
Back to the IL.
Derrick Henry was doing bits today. I don't know if you guys saw any of this news from Jeff Zerbiak, who covers the Ravens there in Baltimore. Derrick Henry.
I'm more of a Wally Zerbiak kind of guy.
I know you are.
Bingo.
He stayed down on the ground a little bit. He had a collision during his OTAs.
Collisions?
Yeah.
This is supposed to be OTAs, no physicality. What are they doing, Oklahoma drills?
Bit of a collision, and maybe they were getting after it. Maybe we end up getting a fine, and Jesse Minter, in his first time as a head coach there in Baltimore, doesn't know all the rules. So, look, I'm trying to build a physical football team. We play in the AFC North.
He should go full Urban Meyer and get fined for, you know, doing too much physicality in OTAs, kick a player, and then bail on a flight home and cheat on your wife.
Now, this was described as a freak collision. A few players then took a knee after Derrick Henry was down. However, he got up, only missed a few plays, then boom, returned to practice. He said afterwards, I sit on the ground because it felt like a bed to me. The media looked hot and bored. I wanted to give them something to tweet about. We just banged knees together. We were fine. I probably laid there too long, said Derrick Henry.
No, the knee banging can result in laying down and writhing for a little while.
And just,
you start to question, like, why are we even out here?
Just bone on bone.
Yes, dude.
It hurts.
A knee bang, and it is better. Like, whenever I used to come inside and be like, oh my gosh, my knee, first question my dad asked, was it a twist or a bang?
Yeah.
Because a bang, it hurts, okay, but
it'll be
ultimately,
okay.
You're talking about a bruise. It's more of a boo-boo than anything. You're kind of hurt. You're not injured. The twist,
you're done for.
That could be done for a situation.
Be looking 4 to 6 weeks. You had a pop to the twist. Now it's real bad.
Oh, if there's a pop.
Now you're punting on the season.
Ball game.
We'll see you next year.
Hey, Lucius, we've got an indoor football league update. First ever Indoor Football League Cup Championship game has been set, baby. You can tune in this Sunday on Yahoo Sports Network. Now, where can I find the Yahoo Sports Network? Is that just online?
Is that like a website?
Is that a channel? I don't know. But you can get it at 7:30 to see who takes home the cup. The two teams that are going to be playing in this one, it's the Arizona Rattlers, which I think was one of the coaches.
One of those coaches. Who go chest to chest with you?
The Arizona Rattlers against the Vegas Nighthawks. Okay.
Hey, wait a minute. I think that's a situation.
Is that
the same situation?
Is that a rematch?
It's a rematch.
Okay, boom. This is going to be juicy. The storylines here.
It's on a lot of smart TV and streaming platforms. The Yahoo Sports Network, 24/7 ad-supported streaming TV on the Fast Channel.
I'm not familiar with their game, but good for them.
I'm excited.
Wow. So this is, well, this is the rematch then of what they called the greatest indoor football league game of all time.
Oh.
Whenever the two coaches were ready to come to blows.
Do you think pregame they should fight to see who wins the toss?
Yeah, they should fight for the coin toss.
Yes. Who gets the right?
Yeah, whoever wins gets, you know, you get the kickoff. Yep. You get to decide, bro.
We get to return or you kick.
Pick your coach up now. Help him out.
Yeah. Take him over.
One coach is giving the other coach a red belly, just slapping him all over his tum-tum.
I'm excited. Okay, speaking of fighting, I did send this audio to Eric yesterday, and I gave it over to Lucius today.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, that's what you meant by poop your pants.
Yeah, the poop. Oh, you thought.
I thought you were teasing your weekend.
No, I'm not going to share that. Are you kidding me? That's so embarrassing. That's going to live with me forever. I'm not going to tell anybody I may or may not have crapped the bed
Coward.
This weekend. I'm not going to do it.
He told us on the elevator last night.
Shut up, Gavin.
And
what
I was
the
like,
hell?
Oh, my goodness. That story might be worse than mine.
All right. If you really want to know, 877-881-1053, I will be vulnerable and I'll tell you. Okay. You guys know me. I'm an open book.
But only if the Tolos want it, man.
But only if you want it, because we've been told to kind of not talk about this stuff as much. It can be a little gross, and I understand it. But this is a sports-related pooing incident. Nate Diaz was taking on Mike Perry on the Ronda Rousey card, MVP's Netflix event. This was Saturday night. Now, Nate's corner stopped the fight after the second round. It was a corner stoppage. Mike Perry wins. Well, let's go to the MMA guru on the TikToks. What happened with Nate Diaz?
There were rumors going around the arena, and some people were tweeting, and I was catching on to it, that I hope this lead isn't true, but I'm hearing reports from someone who works security outside Diaz's locker room that... Nate Diaz pooed his pants during the Mike Perry fight on Netflix. Okay? And this is very serious and it's sad. Leeds say it was a factor in why the fight was stopped in the corner. And when you see the corner stall and you see the brown smear. You see the brown smears everywhere and the chunks of poo on his stall. And even the way Diaz was sort of hobbling around the cage. It kind of looked like somebody had just pooed their pants and was.
He had poo on his stool.
Yeah, it was a bit.
That's unbelievable. He was covered in blood and feces by the end of that fight. I mean, that is as much of an L as anyone has ever taken in the history of humanity, old Chuck. You're drenched in your own blood and feces.
Oh,
on
man.
Netflix for the world.
Beat the S out of him.
Literally. Yeah. Yeah, and you do.
Blood, sweat, and poo.
I don't know if that was poo, bro.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know if that was poo.
Are you questioning the
I think it might be a whole lot of blood. It might be an angle. I mean, the way he got beat up, it possibly could be poo.
We need a 30 for 30 on this today. Blood, sweat, and poo. Yeah. Nate Diaz story.
Yeah, yeah. Did Nate Diaz poop his pants during the Mike
I mean, he
Perry
was sitting
call.
There when the fight was over before, you know, second there on the mat.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he was just sitting there because, like, man, this guy just whooped my behind or
my behind.
Dude, I think I
might
have just pooed. I can't get up. I'm a towel.
Give me the Paul Pierce wheelchair, somebody, please. There's poo on my stool.
He pooped his pants.
I don't know, man.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know, because in the moment I didn't notice that either. But if you go back and there are now pictures circulating of the stool, it does look, as the MMA guru pointed out, that there is some brown, poopy-like substance that is on the stool. Look, Nate's been into many wars, and I don't think he's pooped his pants before, but there's a first for everything.
He did cut some weight, though, for this, right?
He did.
Yeah, bro, that couldn't wait, you know.
He did.
Mess with your stomach.
It liquidized.
He cut some cheese.
Yeah. That's a tough one, man. That's a tough one. Well, that was a first for Nate Diaz. I had a first probably since I was like a wee little lad that happened to me, is the Tolos get what the Tolos want.
And, wait, do they want it?
Yeah, most of them.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to give it to them. It's a thing.
It's a thing. Come on, dude. Like, can you just let the bit ride? yeah, well,
take us in.
We were having a nice family moment.
Oh no.
We were playing with our youngest daughter, Leia, on the bed, and I was doing like the helicopter thing over you know, putting her up like an airplane and woo,
okay.
Yeah, you
so
know.
Not the Blake Elliott helicopter.
No, not that. Okay, this is PG-ish. And the next thing you know, accidentally, I had a toot moment, and it was, you can't trust a toot here, okay?
Oh.
So I tooted.
And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I might have just sharted. So I immediately get up and went to the bathroom.
Respect to your self-awareness, dude.
Indeed, there was an incident.
That's rude as hell, though. Be playing with your kids, like, fine. Just
the one right well, my wife was right there, right? So I just.
That makes it better.
It doesn't. The whole thing's terrible, okay? This is an embarrassing moment for me, guys. I'm well aware that this stinks. I don't know why the hell I should even share this, but I'm sharing it, and I'm ashamed. So later on that night, I've changed and everything. I've showered. My wife's like, did you check the bed? I didn't. I didn't think anything of it, right? I was just wearing my skivvies. I was just in my box of briefs.
Oh, those are thin, man.
Very thin. So I went over and I lifted up the mat, the comforter. And indeed, there had been a little bit of schmutz.
Oh, no.
On the sheets.
It wasn't contained.
It wasn't contained. In fact, it was not just on that sheet. I lifted it up. It had gone on the bottom mattress sheet.
You Nate Diaz'd your bed, bro?
I Nate Diaz'd myself in my bed. In which case, we had to strip the whole bed. We had to wash the sheets. And my wife has just made fun of me ever since that moment.
So that was high. That was a high velocity situation.
It was a rough one, man. Yeah. It was, you know, and ever since then, I just.
Just sitting on your bed?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you, man, have a feeling normal.
You have a mattress protector? Please,
yeah,
God.
Yeah, the mattress protector was smeared. It was soiled.
Right. That's kind of the job of the protector.
Yeah.
What have you chalked it up to? Did you go heavy vegetables Saturday night? Was there
I haven't chalked it up to anything. I think it's just...
Has she lost all respect for you?
Little stomach bug?
I'm just disgusting.
Has she sent you to the couch yet?
No.
Okay, that's
but that
good.
Was the same night that she slept in the guest room.
That makes all the sense in the world.
Which I thought was a big win for me, but in reality, she was like, I don't know what you're about to do.
Did she tell her girlfriends? Because they usually tell their girlfriends everything about you.
That was office fodder yesterday.
Yeah, probably.
Office fodder.
Yeah. Sorry,
as a bit of a shardsman myself, I've never even done that on my bed. That's next level.
No, man, I haven't been.
Shardsman.
Sawed off shark.
No, 469. I wish that were the case, but it wasn't. It was poop. It wasn't the other thing.
Dude, wait, so there's something about that house, dude, because his buddy sharted on his couch.
Yeah,
last year.
I'm getting rid of that couch when we move. It's probably a good thing we're moving.
You still have it?
Yeah, well, I had a Tolo come and professionally clean it.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
And now this
sounds like you need to have him back for the bed.
Well, the sheets we watched, but yeah, maybe.
Those might be throw them out sheets. You
if
know?
We can just go ahead and just erase this entire conversation.
We washed or she washed? She pointed out to you, so she made you go get it up?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I took care of it. I had to spray it down and, you know, put it in there. And
was she standing by you with her arms crossed watching everything?
Yeah. The whole time. She walked with me to the washing machine, watched me put it in there, watched me spray it, you know, the whole thing. It was like I was a little child again, and my mom's like, you've done wrong, you know, like I'm the dog, and they're rubbing your nose and your own poo.
This is not sheets and giggles, Wolchuck.
No,
okay, this is a serious matter.
Yeah, humiliation ritual.
Very much so. Okay, well,
wow.
Now that...
Do your kids know?
Well, no, luckily they're too young. I mean, I haven't told my... The oldest one might be aware of it.
Oldest one might think it's hilarious.
Elijah
would
probably
giggle. You
gotta
sit him down and tell him. It's a family meeting, so, sit down.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Kids, everyone, daddy shorted. And
sleep on mom's side for the rest of time.
I can tell you for a fact, if you told that story to Remy right now, she would be rolling on the ground hysterically.
I think Eliza would find that pretty funny. Leia will probably hear this back in about 15 years, as this will live on for forever. And I love you, everyone.
I mean,
and I'm sorry for that incredibly embarrassing moment that I've just revealed.
It's the first, but it probably won't be the last.
It won't.
Probably won't be.
It won't.
I think I've hit a bad stage.
Watching you hit 40, bro.
In my life.
Wow, dude.
By the way, latest mock draft dropped for the NBA, and this is Jeremy Wu.
If we were on a trip right now, if we were on like a Super Bowl trip or in training camp, we'd have a Best Buy Windows and Sightings confessional.
Yes, we would.
With Wolchuck in his hotel room, vulnerable and sad.
Yeah. And that was brought to you.
He's taking a lot of sacks.
By Best Buy Windows and Sighting. Mykal Brown Jr., the point guard from Louisville, is whom is mocked to the Dallas Mavericks, 9th overall.
Nice.
And I think that would be a win. I think we'd all really love that to happen. Brayden Burries, who's another name that's kind of been floated around for the Mavericks, the shooting guard out of Arizona, went 11 to the Golden State Warriors. So both on the clock. And in this scenario, according to Jeremy Woo, Mavericks decide to go with Brown Jr. From Louisville. 6'3.5". He's got the 6'7.5" wingspan. We know that Masai Ujiri covers that. He likes the length. But this is a player. If that back checks out, and we'll find out more as we're post-combine now, I think that would be a hell of a selection for your Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, you got to make sure that's right. And if it is, I don't think you could rule out you could end up with the best point guard in the class. Like, there's something to love about all five of these guys that'll go inside the top 10. We got the C-note coming up next. Then Cody Alexander, matchquarters.com with you. A couple football segments on the other side.
This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish, spacious, bobopedic sofas, and feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real five-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Here in the nation. All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. It's time for the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening. Cody Alexander, matchquarters.com, is going to join us coming up for Krusty's Corner here in about 15 minutes. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys here in Dallas. Okay. The Wemby shot last night, not only iconic, tied the game, but longest shot of his career.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. I think that's the Steph Curry spot there at the logo in OKC.
Yeah, that was the double bang spot from Mike Breen and Steph Curry all those years ago. So life is a full circle now at this point. And I can't wait to play you guys the call, the OKC call of that shot.
What a hater. What a hater.
You heard it?
Yeah. Yeah, I heard it last night. What a hater, bro.
Rim session coming up at 4:40. We'll be back into the basketball conversation. Emmett Smith updated outlook on the team going into the summer. He was on with RJ Ochoa's podcast there, Blogging the Boys.
I think as we enter the summer months, things do feel a little bit different. They've went ahead and did some things to bolster up the defense, which I feel very good about. The key from this point forth, I believe, and I think we've done with the George Pickens stuff. I think we got George Pickens signed under a franchise tag and so forth, which is the right thing to do, in my opinion. And now you're taking away the steam of what will the Cowboys do? You're taking all the distractions off the table and giving the kids and the guys an opportunity to stay focused and locked in on the things that are very, very important. And that is not only learning the system, gelling as an offense and a defense and a special teams unit, but coming together as a team, fighting for one goal. And one goal in mind is to win the NFC East with an opportunity to get into the playoff and earn the right to go to the NFC Championship game. And there you earn the right to go to the Super Bowl. And so if that focus right now is where we are and it's quiet, to me, that's a good sign. That's a very good sign. That means that all the noise, all the chatter, everyone's talking about this and that has nothing to do with what's going on in that locker room. And right now, all focus and all eyes should be what's going on in that locker room. And so I feel like Darren Wilson, things do feel a little bit different. We did get some quality players in the draft. I think the Cowboys did a very good job of jumping up and grabbing the guy that we got gathered in the first couple rounds. And so I feel good about where things are.
Okay, there's Emmett Smith. Text in if you want to on this subject. Is it different enough? You know, he likes the roster. He likes the distractions being eliminated. It's good for focus. I wonder if that Shoddy's impact, like Jones boys, we can't have another offseason of this amount of drama. Like, it hit – it hit a toxic spot last year with all the words they were talking about Diggs and Parsons, you know, at the press conference, at practice, like going on for weeks, just, you know, and I don't know. Sometimes it's like, is that really a distraction? Like, how good are you at football? That's what really matters. But I think it does matter to a lot of teams. Making sure your culture and vibe is right is a priority of Shoddy. And, you know, as far as the players that they brought in and the retooling of the defense that Emmett talks about, I'm trying to balance how I feel about those things and the positivity compared to what they didn't do. You know, is this like the Seahawks had one really good off-ball linebacker. Their offensive line was pretty good, but not really good. Like, you can have a couple of spots on your roster that aren't amazing, right, and still win. And you know, maybe that's really where the Cowboys are, considering they're going to have like seven different starters on defense. Maybe they've already accomplished that. I have been in a mode of training myself to be cynical about this football team, admittedly. Sure. So they could build a contender, and I might miss. Because I'm like, nope, look, you got tackle issue, you got linebacker issue, you can't rush the passer off the edge. Sorry, seen this play before, not selling me. And maybe that team will be the one that ends up winning the Super Bowl. So that's what I'm trying to balance, and I think all Cowboys fans are right now. Like, how good, how different is it?
I think it's a fair amount different. And it's exciting for what is to come in the future, and you hope to take at least a step this year based on where you were last year. But I don't think it's one of those, oh my gosh, off seasons where you've gone from picking in the top 12 of the draft to all of a sudden you're now contending for a Super Bowl. And even for the Seahawks last year, they have maybe the best defensive mind in all of the NFL as their head coach. And they did have, at least when it comes to their defense, like, they had an unbelievable secondary, and they had, like, they were like 9-10 deep on the defensive line. Like, they had at least some positions where it was like, there is a surplus here. And so that can make up for maybe some weaknesses that we have in other places. We're going to have the deepest defensive line in football. We're going to have a dominant secondary, and we have the greatest defensive mind in the NFL today. Mm-hmm. Okay. That can go ahead and get it done. Oh, by the way, you also have the offensive player of the year in Jackson Smith.
Mm-hmm. And some great coaching, which maybe the Cowboys have.
And it didn't happen in just a year. Like, they had to have that offseason where they added Tank. I mean, they drafted Devin Witherspoon, who's awesome. You draft Nick Emmanuel, who ended up being great for them. They had to trade for Ernest Brown at linebacker at the deadline the year before. So I do think there's an element of this Cowboys defensive line. Like, I don't think we've talked enough really about how good Quinnen Williams is. And now you finally do have a defensive front that I think is going to help out your linebackers, where before it was the opposite, where you were so weak, especially in the middle of your defense, to where your linebackers were constantly having to evade second-level blocks and offensive linemen climbing to the second level. Now, like, if you can get a healthy Overshown, and I do think D. Winters is an improvement, is he great? I don't know. We'll see. But I think that he's better than what you had. I mean, I do think this team has taken a giant step forward, but it's not a completed product just yet.
No, I don't think so either. And, you know, to further that point, when Chief was talking about the numbers on Seattle, I think that's important to look at. Like, bring up the roster of the contenders and add up how many really good players you think they have that they can count on this year. And I think for Seattle, you will get to 11 or 12. With Philly, I did it this morning. I got to 12. You know, with the Cowboys, it's like I get to 7.
Okay.
And then I'm like, I need young guys to step up, and I need veterans to have bounce back years to get to 12. And maybe we'll get there. But, you know, I think that's a leap. And that's consistent with what the Cowboys have done trying to contend in the past. It's not guaranteeing anything. It's laying the foundation for if things go great, then we'll be able to stack up on paper with some of those better teams. So, you know, I think it's time to give them credit to what Emmett was saying for doing more.
Yes.
And hoping that it's enough. And then when the season is going on, if it's not enough, are you going to be aggressive again? Is Max Crosby still on the table? If Max comes out and plays well, but the Raiders are 2-5, are we talking about making a move for him week 8?
Sure.
If you can tell me that, then you know that could be a big part of it.
Absolutely, and I think they should be. I think they should be looking to be aggressive.
if indeed your defense proves like, okay, we're solid here, we're competitive on that side of the ball, and your offense does not have that regression to where, okay, you are still one of the top five offenses in the sport, you think you can make a Super Bowl type of run with that side of the ball, then yeah, there's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't mortgage maybe even that first round pick to go and get a guy like that.
Elsewhere in the C-Note, C.D. Lamb has a great question about the stadium. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but he was on Instagram asking if the NFL can just keep the natural grass that's being installed at AT&T for the World Cup. Pretty cool. We had a story about it last week, how they got this pulley system where the infrared lights or whatever, the grow lights, are dropping down from the rafters. You can get them right up there against the lawn, and boom, we're getting good grass. I think the owners are treating this idea with contempt in the NFL. I think if the Players Association wants it, they could get it. You just have to ask for it in the next CBA. But I think AT&T and the World Cup folks just proved this is logistically doable, and we're doing this for 12 games. If the NFLPA feels strongly that this is causing more injuries to be playing on this artificial surface, I would think it's a big enough deal that we should threaten, you know, what do? We walk out? Yeah, we threaten a walkout on the union side, right? It's a lockout or a walkout or something like that.
Yeah.
But I would threaten nuclear winter, basically, in order to get this done, if I feel like all these Achilles and ACLs could be greatly reduced by it. The owners will argue back and say, no. Players are getting hurt on their natural stuff, too. So it comes down to what you're willing to negotiate for and what you're willing to threaten the league of this is a non-negotiable on. And it, you know, remains to be seen. You know, I think they for the last couple of cycles, they wanted time off. They wanted a 50% split of the money and less drug testing. They got those things, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you got to go pretty hard with some level of threats, and then you also got to be willing to relinquish something else that the owners want. Usually,
yeah.
There's usually something that they want a little bit more of a piece of or whatever, and you might have to be willing to relinquish that. But the threat of the walkout, I just don't know that it's ever really worked in the NFL because it's hard to get everybody on board with that.
Yeah.
You know, like you have your top tier guys that could afford to miss game checks for an extended period of time. Most of the league can't.
No, a lot of young players.
Yeah. They're like, dude, this is my time. I have like a few year window to capitalize. I don't turf, concrete, whatever you want me to play on. I got to do this.
Yeah. And the veterans get annoyed, but it's like,
yeah,
you know,
but it's like they forget where they were at one point for the guys that came out of nowhere and blew up at least.
I would say to the Jones boys on top of this, the artificial grass does look crappy on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean...
Some of them are better than others. Like, I do think there's... Like, the Cowboys kind of looks unique in compared to other artificials that I see out there. Like, you can tell it's AT&T Stadium compared to other stadiums.
It does. I don't know. The way that it lays down or something, I just... In a lot of the camera angles, I'm like, man, that just looks fake and weird.
Yeah, there are some for sure, but when they get it done right and you get one of these big games that they've put together, like I think about Pasadena or something when it's nice out. I mean, the weather can affect it, of course, when it's when it's all nasty like Heinz Field or something.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Like you don't want that type of situation.
No, but like Pasadena is
fresh,
pristine,
beautiful grass. I mean, it still does look really good.
I think it's just a money play, though. It's
easier
to maintain the artificial stuff.
1,000,000%.
And I don't know how many millions it is. You know, are we talking about a couple of mil? You know, is this a massive expenditure or is this owners being cheapskates? You know, essentially, and if the NFLPA is willing to assume half of the cost of it, which they would, because operating expenses, you know, their 50% split is of the net revenue. If they're willing to, you know, pay, I think, you know, right now is the time to do it coming off of this World Cup and technology being what it is.
Yeah, capitalize on it right now. And I want to capitalize on a moment to shout out a brand new listener. Bobby Belt got his junker car towed by a fine gentleman named Ryan, and he tuned into the Fan for the very first time today. And his first segment was Wolchuk crapping his bed.
Oh, wow.
So welcome to the family, Ryan. We love you.
Yeah. All right.
We love
welcome
you, Ryan.
Aboard,
you're the man.
Ryan.
And we're sorry.
Salute to you,
no,
sir.
No, we're not.
Welcome aboard.
I'd like to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Nice job. Nice job towing Bobby's car. That's hilarious. Can't wait to hear more about that tomorrow morning in Sean and RJ. Okay, Krusty's Corner, Cody Alexander, matchquarters.com joins us next.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Next year in the nation. All right, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're about to have a special guest join us once again for Krusty's Corner. The Corner brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com.
Hey, hey, kids. Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you five new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Yeah, buddy. Brian will be back on Thursday. Day baseball tomorrow starting at 2 o'clock. Hopefully by that point they're looking for a series win at Colorado. But after last night's loss and what's happened three or four last games against bad teams, it's hard to say right now. So we're regrouping. Pre-game's coming up at 7 o'clock as Cody Alexander, matchquarters.com, joins us now. You can watch his podcast on YouTube, and you can follow him on Twitter, The Coach A, as Cody joins us once again here on The Fan. For my money, the number one resource for talking football defense today is this man right here. And Cody, good afternoon. How the hell are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Man, it's great to have you. What's the hottest trend in defense going into 2026?
Well, I think that more and more people are going to be trying to find that safety that can actually play nickel. I think we've seen that. I think, too, getting into five-man fronts out of a 4-2. So basically playing with your leverage points on the front. Those are kind of the things that everybody's kind of talking about right now.
So a five-man run out of 4-2, how do you get there?
Yeah, basically you're going to have that weak side linebacker and you're going to walk them down, basically creating an edge. So that's why you're seeing kind of a run on these hybrid off-ball guys that, you know, a couple years ago you didn't know what to do with them. Now you're like, well, hey, we can either blitz them, we can walk them down and create an edge, or we can, you know, use them as an off-ball linebacker.
So is that five down with one line? Is that what people are calling penny right now? I've noticed people staying penny a lot more.
Yes. So a true penny would be a nickel, so five DBs, one linebacker, two edges, three interior. But you can get to the same penny look from a 4-2 by just walking down that will linebacker into kind of a 50 front.
And, of course, the other thing that you mentioned in there, the safety that can do the nickel stuff, what do you think of Caleb Downs stepping in here?
Yeah, I think it's a perfect fit, and I think that they needed to have that. You know, it's really interesting. You need a nickel because he touches the most players on the field in terms of who's going to relate to him. And I think in the modern game, the better that guy can fit the run, the better that guy can pass coverage, then you're going to be a better defense because you're going to be able to kind of do some other things. And everybody kind of wants to be in 12 personnel, two tight ends. They want to throw the ball on first down through play action. If I can live in nickel and have those five DBs, I can change the math on the back end for that.
So, Cody, I think one thing we've kicked around is when you think, or fans might hear nickel, they're thinking, okay, a Caleb Downs is going to go and cover that slot wide receiver. How much of that is he really going to be asked to do in your knowledge of what Christian Parker might want to run, where it's him just in man coverage, isolated one-on-one with that slot receiver?
Very rarely, especially in a heavy zone system. Now, this is one of those systems that it'll be interesting to see how much man that Parker actually wants to play. If you look at the Eagles tape, they played a lot of man, which is why Cooper DeJean, all pro, makes it really easy. Quinyon Mitchell, your boundary safety, makes it really easy. I think what this system does when you look at other ways that people are doing this, like go and look at Staley with New Orleans, they want to play zone, so he's going to have help. It's more of a match and not necessarily heavy man. I've got it kind of that old school nickel where it doesn't matter where you go, I'm going to take you all over. I'm going to at least going to have safety help a lot of times.
talking Cowboys football with Cody Alexander of Magic Quarters here in the G-Bag Nation. What gives you the most pause about this Cowboys defense right now? Like, where do you think they still have a little bit of a weakness?
I've heard you guys talk about it plenty, and I think really it was something that's carried over from last year. If you look at what they've brought in the offseason, the one area of concern has to be the linebackers. It has to be that kind of link point there in the middle between the front and the back end. They just, Overshown going to be healthy? D Winters, does he give you that ability to do that? There's not a lot of size outside of Barham, which is another concern. So does that mean that you're going to play a lot of five-man fronts? There's just a lot of questions around that linebacker core.
Five-man fronts, does that help you more on rundowns or passing downs?
It helps you more on rundowns. I think on passing downs, you could argue that it creates one-on-ones, but you're eliminating a coverage defender. And so now you're constantly playing with one less coverage defender, which in the modern game, you probably don't want to do that. So it's give and take, and it really depends on. And so if your back end is not as great as it needs to be, you want that extra defender. And so that's where kind of that play, that sliding scale of where you need to fit is going to come in.
Cody, how much do you believe in the Cowboys piecing together a good enough pass rush to have a good defense?
I think that's going to be a concern as well, right? Like, is the edges that are left over, are they going to be able to kind of take another step? You know, some of them, they've been here for a couple of years. Ezeraku, is going on year two. But no, I think that is a legitimate concern. I think inside, there's not, I think with Quinnen Williams, Kenny Clark, you kind of feel like, okay, we can get some interior pressure, but then how is that going to translate on the edge? That's definitely a question.
Cody Alexander with us here in the G-Bag Nation. One thing that we've worried about from a Cowboys perspective, Cody, is going up against that, McVay, Shanahan, LaFleur, those type of offenses in the past. When you study Fangio and whatever you think Christian Parker might be adapting from his history, how are they better suited to maybe take on those type of challenging offenses?
I mean, they have in the DNA essentially what McVay handpicked for his defensive coordinator when he hired Staley to stop his offense and to work against it on a daily basis. And really, if you go and look at Shula and what he's doing, he's running, Fangio-adjacent schemes. And so I think what this system does is it creates backstops for a lot of these deep over routes, these intermediate crossing routes, a lot of that split action that you see from this offense, especially with McVay. This defense is layered and creates answers for that type of offense, whether it's they can zone over a particular receiver, or they can create a backstop opposite where that receiver is if they run a ton of crossing routes. So the system is built to handle pretty much what they're getting from the McVay system.
Cody, outside of Caleb Downs, who do you think is the rookie that could have the biggest immediate impact this year?
Well, I look at Malachi Lawrence because I think that there is an opportunity for an edge rusher in this. I think a lot of people probably outside of the system probably think that this is a system that wants to have these hybrid edges, that they want to be able to drop into coverage. And I think over time, one of the things that's evolved from the system is that you kind of realize those guys aren't really helping you in coverage. I really need them to either be setting the edge in the run game, or I need them to actually get after the passer. I think that's what you saw with Jalen Phillips being picked up by the Eagles last year. It was like, we need more juice. We can manufacture some of the things on the back end. We can answer problems because that's really where this system wants to place all of their capital. So you need some sort of a pass rush engine. And I think Malachi Lawrence can do that for you, being that, first round pick edge.
Cody Alexander, matchquarters.com, at the Coach A on Twitter. Okay, the Eagles, they lost Phillips. They lose Blankenship, but they brought in Grenard. They had a good draft. But I'd love if you just look at their defense and what you think Philadelphia is going to do on that side of the ball. Still the best defense in the division? Is this a top five defense? How good are the Eagles?
If they can get Reek Woolen to play the way that I think everybody knows he can play, I still think that a lot of people probably don't realize this is this team actually led the league in man coverage last year. They play heavy match three system, meaning that even in cover three, even in zone, they're going to be matching up man to man. They're built to play man coverage. They're built to get after the quarterback now. So I would assume, even though they're losing Blankenship, they're probably feeling a little bit better when they play man coverage and when they do some of these match concepts. So it's really going to come down to who's playing opposite Grenard and can they manufacture a rush, kind of what they had when they went to the Super Bowl.
Cody, Quinton Williams is a player that I don't know that we've even really talked enough about this offseason. When it comes to a player of his caliber, what are things that maybe don't show up on the stat sheet that he can do and impact defensively?
If you go and you look at any top quarterback in any era, the one thing that they will all tell you is internal pressure in their face right at the snap of the ball, where they can't just set up in the pocket, where they have to now move off of their point. So when you get internal pressure, whether it's a push or even if it is actual pressure, if you can just disrupt the presence or slide the pocket over a little bit, it messes with the timing on every offense in the NFL. And so even though he's not getting huge sack numbers, like maybe like a Chris Jones, that is affecting the way that quarterbacks are playing and then being able to target receivers down the field. So that's probably one of those things that doesn't show up on the stat sheet or you don't see all the time. But those slight sidesteps, that slight movement by the quarterback throws off timing.
Cody, last question for you. New article today you published on Twitter, how Arizona's number one ranked coverage disguise protected an outmatched front. What can you tell us about this article? What can you tell us about Ryan Smith coming over from that Arizona coaching staff and if it could help the Cowboys?
Well, there's definitely some aspects in it of being able to kind of simplify things throughout the scheme, whether it's we're playing base or we're playing in some of our sub packages, being able to carry certain things through. So like basically what Arizona was doing was building a base defense out of their three high system. So getting into 3-4 looks, when you have three safeties on the field and they all kind of have hybrid abilities, you can do some of these things. So I think there's definitely some ideas, primarily from the sub packages that you can pull from that system that relate back to the Cowboys because of the roster, especially the safety roster that they have. I just don't know if the three high structure is something that you're going to see on a base down, but definitely some movement opportunities, some of the ways that they taught coverages and quarters. Jonathan Gannon probably doesn't get enough credit for being as innovative as he was just because they didn't win very many games in Arizona. But there are especially some things from that three safety structure that they can pull from maybe on third down or maybe on some of these like spread teams that you could be able to use.
With adding Locke to Downs and Hooker and Thompson, it feels like the Cowboys have a good safety room right now. What do you think they have in mind with all those guys?
Yeah, I definitely think that there is some hybrid ability. Jalen Thompson gives you that kind of down safety. He can play back. He can play nickel if you need to. P.J. Locke mainly played deep. So you can definitely see that there's kind of a room within a room with Marquise Bell and Jalen Thompson kind of stacking together as that down safety. And then your post safeties or your cover safeties is Hooker and Locke, who are able to play deep. So you can definitely see that. And then Downs obviously is kind of your wild card, where if you feel like it, he could probably be your starting down safety and base along with Jalen Thompson. How does that affect Malik Hooker? Or do we just wean him in there and we just play nickel? And so how much nickel is really going to be determined by how much they believe in Caleb Downs, who can fit near the box.
Thanks for the education. Once again, my man, Cody Alexander, matchquarters.com. Have a great afternoon, sir.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate you.
Salute. Yeah, and he's a must-follow for football fans. I just love his content, man.
He's incredible.
It's so detailed. He's like an encyclopedia of scheme that's constantly updating. So at the Coach A on Twitter.
Bro, look how dark
it is.
Holy
crap. Get inside.
Oh, yeah, it's bad. The weather's really bad.
You can't see the other buildings across the highway.
Gosh.
No, yeah, wow. it looks like it's nighttime out there. I feel
get
like
indoors.
We're back in nighttime radio.
Yes, be safe. I know there's flood warnings and hail warnings, so stay tuned. And if there is a weather alert, of course, we'll be jumping in with you. As the show continues here, it's the G-Bag Nation on the Fan, Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. Football fix time, Zach.
Let's do it. Why McVay almost quit coaching. JSN disrespect and predicting this season's stat leaders. That's next.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.